indexing books is much easier when they're ebooks. He says, Derek, you can make an index. You can also make concordances, which are even harder to make. So in some sense, this makes it all easier for you. And another, the other question that you brought up, we call drinking from a fire hydrant. You have fire plugs, hydrants out of the street, you open it up and the water comes out and it would knock you over. Right? How do you drink out of that? That's a term we use for, we got so much information, how do we pick out what we want without getting knocked over? To me, this is what the search engines are about. We, you know, our sites get web crawled by all the major search engines all the time. We can't publish a book that, and they don't have it immediately, okay? Now, my own personal view, and this is very personal, I do not try to put my own views on everybody, so that's why I say this is how I do it. I get this ton of email. Like I said, I got 1,000 emails from Brussels to here. I'm glad to get them. I would spend all the time it takes to do them all. I would rather get the same message 10 times over from 10 different people who think it's important that I read this than to get zero messages saying that it's important I read it. I would rather have too much information than too little information. Now, I'm going to go even farther, and I want to apologize in advance. I'm going to use you as an example. I'm going to play theatrical with you, okay? Is that all right? No, he's not that kind of guy. I can? Okay. I don't want to offend anybody, so I'll use Sebastian. He's my friend. Sebastian, you nasty publisher, you want to choose what I read. Not just what I read, but you want to choose which books I even know exist. Shame on you. No, he's gonna say something back. We can't just leave him like that.
Je pensais pas à l'éditeur, mais par exemple, quand j'ai envie de lire, je vais chez mon ami libraire et puis je lui demande conseil parmi les 500 livres qui sortent chaque semaine. Et c'est grâce à lui, par le partage, la rencontre avec les gens qui ont pu lire des livres, que je vais enfin pouvoir accéder finalement aux 5, 10, 15, 20 livres à lire dans le mois, sachant que j'en lirai peut-être 6 au maximum. La question, c'est vraiment dans le projet Gutenberg, est-ce qu'il y a cette notion de conseil, etc., qui va permettre d'accéder à l'information. Un moteur de recherche, si je tape n'importe quoi dans Google, je vais trouver effectivement les peut-être 1500 pages qui traitent d'un sujet, mais ça ne me permettra pas de trouver les informations pertinentes. Si je cherche par exemple sur Michel Arthe et puis ce que vous avez fait, etc., je ne sais pas si je vais rapidement pouvoir trouver l'information.
I have too many answers, that's why I'm thinking so hard. I took courses at the university in library science. I never finished my degree in library science, but I took courses in how to run a search engine. So I can do what you want to do with your answers, because I practiced. We have these huge, powerful tools that nobody wants to practice, and then they complain that it doesn't work very well. I apologize. I'm not pointing this at you. I get this from a lot of people. I don't want, this is back to my personal feelings now, I don't want anybody to substitute my judgment for their judgment. As much as I want you to believe what I believe, I don't want you to believe it because I believe it. I want you to challenge me and argue with me, and I want to have to convince you based on your own premises, not mine. So I have to learn to understand you like your book dealer has to learn to understand you. And we have these programs called bots that are supposed to learn to understand you and your preferences. And I don't know how much of this is fiction and how much of it's real, but in theory, if you go through your book searches and you find 10 books that you like, and you tell the bot, okay, all these answers you gave me, these were the 10 best answers. Next year, when the next 100 books come out that you want to ask it about, it should do a better job. Yes, I cultivate people whose judgment I ask for. No, I don't take their advice all that much. Yes, people ask me for advice all the time. No, they hardly ever take it. So, we're going to get even more.
Okay, we have... You're still...
Le dernier point, alors. Non, je crois que dans le partage de l'information, comment le savoir s'est toujours transféré, c'est justement par le bouche à oreille, par les conseils, etc. À un moment donné, il ne faut pas, je pense, oublier ce rôle important. Dans la masse d'informations, cette notion est fondamentale. Je pense que si on la néglige, si on l'oublie, on va se retrouver devant une masse d'informations qu'on ne saura jamais gérer. Trouver un grain de sable sur une plage, ce n'est pas évident, sauf si effectivement d'autres personnes ont fait ce chemin avant vous et pourront vous guider, quoi.
Yes. finding what you want. Yeah, you know, we call it a needle in a haystack. When you call it the mouth-to-mouth business is fine. The internet helps you with mouth-to-mouth. That's what we say instead of mouth-to-ear. You get a crowd of people. I mean, look at me. Nobody would know who I was if it wasn't for the internet mouth to mouth. You probably never knew that I was in Le Monde 5 years ago. And it was a great article. It was a full page. And it was a wonderful experience because they hated me when they met me. They took one look at me and go, oh, what the heck have I got into? And I did not have any idea they were going to write in fact, they interviewed 16 people and they were only going to publish 12. And I was sure I would be one of the four that they said, let's get rid of him. But they wrote a fantastic article. It was wonderful. And you've heard my French already. I read it in French, and I still could tell it was a wonderful article. But the world doesn't know me because even though the very first time the word internet was used on the front page or the cover of any major media was me, nobody knows that. Nobody. People know who I am because somebody told them. That's all. I have no fame from the top down. We are what we call a grassroots project. And it's from the bottom up. We want to take the whole world and everybody in it, every culture, every language, everything, and take the whole world and push it up that 10% or 15% or whatever, however much we can do, and make it just that much better for everybody. That's why we're from the bottom up. The people who are at the top, they have no interest in something that helps everybody. In my hometown in Illinois, I always get asked, I used to, back in the beginning of the internet, you could write an email to Hart at any site on the whole internet, and I would get it, because everybody knew who I was.
Okay, we have quite a number of few colleagues who want to ask questions,
okay.
And we have only 12, 13 minutes. May I just tell you that l'article du Monde auquel on fait allusion, c'est un article qui était publié en août 98 sous le titre La deuxième révolution Gutenberg. Le projet Gutenberg, il y avait comme sous-titre La deuxième révolution Gutenberg, et c'est effectivement un excellent article qui garde toute son actualité. Alors, nous avons deux dames et deux messieurs qui attendent de prendre la parole. À vous, madame.
Let me just get 10 more seconds of that. My own people, everybody says, what have you done for me? What have I done for my town that I didn't do for everybody else? My town doesn't like me. Because I don't help them, that I don't help everybody else. So I'm no fun in my hometown.
I have one answer and one question. One answer to this gentleman. Yes, you. If he wants to know about books, come to me. I am a librarian. He is not a librarian. Okay? And a question to you. I have a lot of questions about tools and e-files and technical points. Could you give us your email address, even if you get 1,000 questions a day?
Hart, H-A-R-T, at pobox.com. And that will I will get 3 copies when you send it to that.
Thank you.
Okay. David.
Yes, David started from UNESCO Communication Information Sector. I have books once were made of paper and print, let's say, and writing and print. Then now we're talking about electronic publishing, and this relies on a middle layer, which is electronic, which is software, which is hardware, etc. And now we can see a sort of trend that companies are, as you said, trying to, you know, always try to control what people do and what people read, what people produce. And we can see that probably they hope that in a certain amount of time they will be able to control this middle layer. What I mean is, the trend seems to be that, despite the efforts of the community, we all this electronic publishing will rely on formats, file formats or other things, which belongs to someone. And so we're not sure that we'll be able to keep a free format to be able to read all this electronic publishing, even if this electronic publishing is free of copyrights or in public domain. What's your opinion about that?
I'm kind of famous for, or infamous, for being against, the term we use is proprietary formats for that. I mentioned PDF and LIT and stuff like that. I like this data to be where everybody can get it in every program. Okay, I think there's only one Project Gutenberg book that's only available in one format, and it's in French, by the way, because the fellow who sent it to me said, I want it only in this format. And my staff said no, and this is one of the times I got bossy, and I said, no, this guy did all this work, we should do it. But I did say to him, I said, I won't put it in other formats. And as anybody asks me, I will ask them not to. But you know that so many years down the road, it's going to end up in other formats. Okay? So that was fine for him. He just didn't want me to do it. He wanted to make, back in those days, we had arguments about how to do the accents and everything, and he wanted it to appear in this particular way, and I went, fine, it's your book. See, I don't look at Project Gutenberg as mine. You volunteer to do a book, it's your book. And every once in a while, we get a person who says, any fixes that you want to do, you send them to me. Fine, it's your thing. So, but we try to put them all out in HTML and all in plain text and all in a couple other formats too. So hopefully they will not get lost.
Okay, so, yeah, please.
Oui, bonjour, Bastien Guéry. Je voulais savoir quels sont vos liens avec la Free Software Foundation et la communauté open source en général. Est-ce qu'il y a un lien entre le projet Gutenberg et la communauté open source et le logiciel libre?
Obviously, since I've been on the internet, since there were 100 people on it, I know all the people from back then. So I know Richard Stallman. And we're going to be speaking together at FOSDEM or Freedom or whatever on February 21st and 22nd. And hopefully you can come. Officially, there's officially Project Gutenberg isn't very official. We just do what we do. We talk to them, and I'm sure they do some stuff with our books and stuff like that. But in terms of political action, we're not very political. We just really want to get the books out there. We want to change the way that industry. You know, we want to start the neo-industrial revolution. I personally don't think we're going to get laws passed to support the neo-industrial revolution. But I've been pleasantly surprised by the people I spoke to in the various parliaments so far here in Europe. Europe may have a much better idea how to do this than the United States. And I volunteered to one of the ministers to come and work in Europe for 1 month every year to get this going. So hopefully I'll have better news for you as time goes on. And the free software people are trying to do their stuff too. But we may end up getting together because they talk to the same ministers we do. But I personally am so apolitical that you could call me anti-political. Most politicians, I just assume whack them as talk to them.
Babel Hervert, I just wanted to know how you work technically. Do you use XML applications to do? I just wonder how it works, how you work so fast.
As far as markup goes, I'm not very markup oriented. I'm the plain text guy. But there is something called TEI Lite, which is a version of XML that we are working on. Oh, we never talked enough about distributed proofreaders. Now we're out of time. But we are working on creating an underlying file in one of these languages like that are very similar. I don't know all the differences. So that we can keep one file and then what we call on the fly, instantaneously, you say, I want this in HTML, I want this in PDF, I want this in plain text, and it just makes it for them at the blink of an eye. That's the goal that we set when we got to number 10,000. We said, okay, now they have to take us seriously. Long time, nobody took us seriously at all. Everybody said, you don't have to worry about Project Gutenberg. Just wait till next year, they will go away. Because they never understood that we could do this with no money and no politics and no media, no nothing. Now, we're actually going to stop in 3 minutes.
We have a last question, but I think
I'm going to wind up,
we
too.
We need four minutes about proofreading. I think it's a very important question. But the question first.
Bonjour. Ludovic Penet de l'Association pour la promotion de la recherche en informatique libre. Je voulais d'abord apporter un tout petit élément de réponse à monsieur qui demandait quel lien il y a avec la communauté du logiciel libre. Il faut peut-être rappeler que cette conférence a été co-organisée par la Fondation du logiciel libre, par l'APRIL, l'Association pour la promotion de la recherche en informatique libre, par la FUL, donc par les acteurs du logiciel libre en France, je dirais. Et ensuite, bien plus plutôt que de poser une question, comme je vois qu'on a encore beaucoup de choses à échanger ensemble, et comme j'ai monté demain matin à l'Assemblée nationale 3 heures de rencontre avec Michael, et ben je voudrais inviter tous ceux qui souhaitent y participer à venir me donner leur nom, vu qu'une inscription préalable est requise, afin qu'on puisse continuer à discuter tous ensemble. Voilà.
Merci beaucoup pour l'invitation. Ça va avoir lieu où ?
Ça sera demain matin à l'Assemblée nationale, donc au 126 rue de l'Université, au premier bureau. Voilà.
Donc les inscriptions à prendre ici chez vous.
Voilà, parce que l'Assemblée demande une préinscription. Voilà.
Très, très bien.
So everybody run over there and give him their name. Everybody run up there afterwards and write their name down on him.
Bien, avant de terminer cette réunion, je pense qu'il y avait une demande assez forte pour avoir quelques minutes pour Michael, pour qu'il puisse conclure et en même temps répondre à cette question sur la modalité de proofreading dans le cadre de ce projet Gutenberg.
And I'm gonna steal one second here at least. Dimitri, right? You never had a question?
No.
Okay.
I don't have a question.
I met him at the door. I promised I'd see if he had anything to say. Sorry, I'm not very formal. That's the kind of guy I am. Okay. I'm going to describe a little bit of what the distributed proofreaders do.
Yes, please.
And how we do it. We scan the books. We put the scan. Now, this is a picture, an image, okay, on one side of the screen. And then we run it through an OCR program, and we put the text on the other side of the screen. So don't let anybody fool you when you hear about these million e-book projects and stuff like that. These are not text. These people just buy a big machine, and they throw the books in, and the pictures come out the other end. You can't search them. You can't email them to each other. You can't put them in your homework papers and all that stuff. So I just got to warn you about that kind of stuff. What we do at distributed proofreading is change that one kind of book, the one kind of ebook that you're going to get a lot of publicity about this because these people have money, and they don't like the idea of Project Gutenberg so much because everybody can have it. They're still trying to make limited distribution. It's a very solid paradigm that goes back to the amoeba. It's better if I have it and you don't, okay? I'm trying to undo all that. So we put the picture on one side, the OCR on the other side, and two different people read every single page and correct any errors that they can find. If they are not sure, they send them to us. And by the way, I was about to say something a long time ago about this lady here. Librarians are worth their weight in gold.
Only.
Don't miss your chance. You should have all their phone numbers on auto dial. I have them in my computer. When I'm stuck on research, when it's a tough problem, the reference librarians help me out. And they're amazing at it. They'll spend days working on something to help me. Days! They don't like it if they can't answer a question. I'm big on librarians, all right? Now, then we have an overseer, a production coordinator, who then puts all these different people do this in different ways, and they put all those pieces together, and then they do what I used to do of making sure that it looks good on the screen. And we already have a distributed proofreaders of Europe. They were trying to send me their very first finished book before I left Hawaii, and I kept ping, ping, is it there? Is it there? Is it there? And I don't know, I have to assume that it's been finished by now. And I'm going to meet some of the people from this Project Rastko that was started in Belgrade, which is now becoming the headquarters of Project Gutenberg of Europe. Right now we have two different Project Gutenbergs of Europe, one of which is like me. I think I will meet this fellow, and I can let you know later, Zoran Stefanovic from Belgrade. And he seems to be a very amazing guy. He does all this stuff all by himself, and he's got 50 Project Gutenbergs started in Europe in all these different countries and languages and cultures and things like that. Then we have another Project Gutenberg of Europe that wants to be political. And we're not sure exactly. I asked him, I asked Zoran, I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, what I should do with these political types, because I'm not very political, as I already told you. And he said, well, I don't mind. And I said, well, good, I don't mind either, but we'll have to wait and see what they do, how crazy they are. But this is going very, very well. I'm totally amazed at how much, it's quite possible that Project Gutenberg could end up being in Europe instead of the United States. The people are picking it up and running with it very, very fast. Très vite.
Okay, I think this man could talk for hours and hours and
days. Well, I do
days.
Want to wind up.
We are you want to wind up.
I have my little...
Okay. He still wants to walk, to talk. So we give him a few minutes.
It's really only a recapitulation. If you listened already, you know what I'm going to say. But I'm just going to try to tell you what I think are the most powerful things that we talked about. To me, the whole idea is that any of you could do this in a basement or in a closet or anywhere where you got a computer and a wire, right? Everybody can do this. I cannot explain to you how much of an effect it has. On days when I am very unhappy and it's raining and snowing, I'll get a note. It says, I love this. That might be the whole note. And it just makes my day. I'd just be happy all day. People really appreciate having this stuff available. I get notes from people who said, I found a book, and this will relate to you, said, I found a book that I read 28 years ago, and I never could find it again. And I typed in all the words and things I could remember on Google, and it popped out the book from Project Gutenberg. So you can find things that you don't even know you're looking for Project Gutenberg. And it does happen all the time. By the way, do you know Stumpers? Yes. You're on Stumpers? I'm on Stumpers. Is a bunch of librarians who will not give up on a question until they get an answer. When it's stumped everybody in the world, they send it to us. And I still answer some of those questions. I'm not really a librarian, but I pretend to be one. And I love doing that stuff. So the one important thing is anybody can do it. And anybody can receive it. The next most important thing, it doesn't cost anything. The really killer thing is that this could start the neo-industrial revolution. Now, I haven't talked very much about printing out cans of Coke or Pepsi, because that people usually just think, oh, boy, is that guy nuts. But I should warn you that for the first 17 years of Project Gutenberg, I never got any single response from anybody, even my best friends, other than, you are nuts. You're the guy who wants to put Shakespeare in the computer? You crazy. Nobody's ever going to want to read a book on a computer. So my final comment, I don't know how many countries are represented here. I would love to talk to every one of you forever. Any one of the countries in the UN, even the smallest one, could spend 1% or 1% of 1% of their budget and become the information nation. If I talk about the banking nation, you all know which country I'm talking about. I don't have to say that it's Switzerland, all right? Any one of these countries for the next 3 years is my prediction, could put so much information with these cheap terabytes that they could take away Google, they could take away Amazon, they could take away Yahoo. Nobody has ever seriously tried to take over the internet except me. And that's the end.
Thank you so much for this much stimulating session and encouraging for us people working in libraries and making information available to everybody. I would like to thank the audience, the interpreters, and bon appétit. Thank you.